I want you to imagine just for a second looking up at the night sky and thinking about a black hole. If you are like most people listening to this, you probably picture the ultimate cosmic trash can.
Right, just a massive, terrifying sinkhole in space.
Exactly. A place where stars, planets, light just fall in, cross the event horizon, and are totally deleted from the universe forever. I mean, we are taught to view black holes as the absolute end of the line, but today we're going to completely dismantle that idea. What if black holes are not cosmic garbage disposals, but rather the densest, most powerful quantum computer hard drives in existence?
Yeah, it really fundamentally rewrites our entire understanding of physics. I mean, we are looking at a paradigm where the fabric of space-time itself acts as a memory storage medium.
For this deep dive, we are pulling from a really fascinating theoretical framework titled Atom Pattern Theory for Controlling Black Holes. And our mission today is to understand exactly how advanced physics might allow us to literally use black holes as quantum computer memory storage. And we aren't talking about like a few gigabytes here. The math suggests a storage capacity of 10 to the power of 70 bits of information per square meter of event horizon.
To give you a physical sense of that scale, if you had a black hole event horizon the size of an average living room rug, it could hold more data than everything currently stored on Earth, multiplied by billions.
Wow.
So, yeah, it represents the absolute theoretical limit of data density in our universe.
But to understand how we could ever read or write data to a black hole, how it functions as quantum memory storage, we have to throw away the whole trash can model. The source text introduces a completely different way of defining what a black hole is, calling it a gravitational radical. Now, when I hear radical, I either think of politics or extreme sports, but here we are borrowing from chemistry, right?
Yeah, so think about free radicals in chemistry. A radical is a molecule that has an unpaired electron. And electrons, they strongly prefer to be in pairs.
Okay.
When a molecule has one lonely unpaired electron, it becomes highly unstable and incredibly reactive because it is frantically trying to bond with something to complete that pair.
Right. It's chemically anxious. It just wants to resolve that imbalance.
Exactly that. The author scales this chemical concept up to astrophysics. The theory proposes that a black hole is essentially a massive cosmic collection of unpaired information spins. You have this astronomical number of spins, but instead of floating freely where they can easily bond, they're trapped behind the extreme gravity of the event horizon.
Okay, let me make sure I am visualizing this correctly for everyone. When we talk about information spins being trapped, we are talking about the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, right? Because normally, if I build a hard drive to get more storage space, I have to make the hard drive physically larger. The storage scales with the volume of the drive. But black holes don't work that way.
They don't know. The Bekenstein-Hawking equation reveals something profoundly strange about black holes. Their entropy, or their hidden information capacity, is proportional only to their surface area, the event horizon itself.
Just this surface.
Right. The math divides that surface area into impossibly small grids called Planck areas.
And the text is saying that every single one of those tiny Planck areas on the surface acts as one of these unpaired information spins, like one bit of trapped data.
That is the core of it, yeah. The black hole is the ultimate macroscopic radical. It has an unimaginable number of these unpaired information electrons, so to speak, but the event horizon acts as a one-way membrane. Things can fall in, but those trapped spins cannot reach out to pair up with anything.
I see. So a black hole is basically like a lonely dancer at a cosmic prom who desperately wants a partner, but the event horizon is this like velvet rope keeping everyone out.
That is a surprisingly accurate way to put it.
But wait, we know black holes aren't completely isolated. They emit Hawking radiation. They slowly leak energy over billions of years. If these spins are totally trapped by gravity, how does that leakage fit into this radical model?
That is where the framework gets really elegant. We usually treat Hawking radiation as random thermal leakage, just chaotic static bleeding out into the void. But this theory reframes Hawking radiation as the black hole's slow, frustrated attempt to finally pair up. The scientific term here is spin lattice relaxation.
Spin lattice relaxation. So it's not a leak, it's the black hole trying to relax.
You can think of it as a stress structure trying to settle into a stable state. The black hole is highly reactive, right? It's trying to resolve its unpaired status. Emitting a quantum of Hawking radiation is actually the black hole flipping one of its unpaired spins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a slow, agonizing data release mechanism as the black hole tries to reach a stable ground state.
Okay, that changes the picture completely. If Hawking radiation is just the black hole trying to offload data, then we really are looking at a giant memory drive. We have our storage medium, a massive sphere of unpaired spins just waiting to be flipped. But here is the massive roadblock for you. If I want to save a file to this cosmic hard drive, how do I actually write the data? Anything I send toward the black hole just crosses the horizon and is gone. I can't exactly run a physical cable to it.
No, you definitely can't use classical physics. To interact with a system where no physical signal can escape, you have to use a channel that completely ignores physical distance. You have to rely on quantum entanglement.
Spooky action at a distance, as Einstein called it, where two particles become deeply linked and their states are correlated no matter how far apart they are in the universe.
Precisely. The source outlines a very specific writing protocol, using what physicists call an EPR pair, an entangled pair of particles. The process starts in your laboratory. You generate these entangled particles, you safely store one half of the pair in your local quantum computer, and you shoot the other half directly into the black hole.
And once it crosses the event horizon, what happens? Does it just get crushed?
Well, under what's called the membrane paradigm, the event horizon essentially absorbs the infalling particle's quantum state. It gets smeared across the surface. So now the particle sitting safely in your lab on Earth is perfectly entangled with the unpaired spins on the black hole's horizon.
Hold on, I need to push back here because Einstein's ghost is screaming right now.
I get that a lot.
Right, because if I'm the listener, I'm thinking about the absolute speed limit of the universe.
Right.
If I am standing in my lab manipulating a particle and it is instantly affecting the event horizon of a black hole 50 light years away, am I not sending a faster than light signal? Doesn't that completely break causality?
It is a really critical distinction, and the text specifically addresses it through the no signaling theorem. You have to separate classical communication from quantum correlation. Entanglement does not allow you to send a superluminal text message.
Okay.
You cannot force the particle in your lab into a specific state and have it force the black hole's particle to do the same thing instantaneously.
So I can't use it like a cosmic telegraph wire?
No, definitely not. Think of it more like pre-programming boundary conditions. By entangling the particles before one falls in, you are establishing a strict statistical relationship. When you perform operations on the particles in your lab, you aren't sending new information into the black hole. Instead, you are determining the mathematical basis in which the black hole's future evaporation will have to unfold to maintain that correlation.
Okay, I think I get it. So I am not remotely controlling it in real time. I've essentially handed the black hole a locked box and I kept the key. The data is stored in the relationship between my lab and the horizon.
Exactly. That relationship is what creates perfect quantum RAM. The information is preserved in the entanglement. You have successfully written to the hard drive without violating a single law of relativity.
That is a staggering concept. We have a physical hard drive in a safe lab, but the actual memory capacity it utilizes is the surface of a black hole light years away. But this leads to an even bigger problem. Let's say I wrote my data. The black hole has absorbed the entangled particles. I need to read that file back. Earlier, you said Hawking radiation is the black hole releasing data. But you also said it takes billions of years and it comes out as chaotic thermal static. A hard drive that takes a billion years to load a completely corrupted file is useless.
You're hitting on the core engineering hurdle here. As a baseline, normal Hawking radiation contains essentially zero readable information. It's completely randomized thermal noise. The text introduces a metric for this called accuracy. Accuracy measures the number of useful bits of information carried by each emitted Hawking quantum.
So currently, the accuracy is effectively zero. We are getting pure static. How do we extract the signal from that noise? It feels like trying to read a book that has been put through a wood chipper and then burned.
It's a really good visual.
So what does this all mean for our hard drive? Like, we need a way to unshred the book. The text mentions something called SCIS mathematics, where time erases the path but leaves the result recognizable. How does that help us tune the accuracy?
Right. So to solve this, we turn the black hole into a quantum repeater. You take all those atoms sitting in your lab, the ones that are entangled with the black hole, and you organize them into a highly specific distant atomic spin lattice. The text points to a structure called a skirmion.
Wait, a skirmion. Let's unpack that, because it sounds like a creature from a fantasy novel. What is it practically?
A skirmion is basically a microscopic, highly stable magnetic knot. Imagine a field of magnetic spins pointing up, but in one specific spot, they twist around each other to point down, creating a tiny, mathematically perfect vortex. Because of its geometry, what we call its topological winding number, it is incredibly resilient. You can jostle it, but the knot won't untie.
Okay, so I have this perfect, stable magnetic knot made of trapped atoms in my lab. And because those atoms are entangled with the black hole, what does the black hole do?
The event horizon effectively sees this stable knot. Because they are entangled, your lab lattice acts as a boundary condition for the black hole. It forces the black hole's Hawking radiation to phase lock to the spin precession of your lab atoms.
Wait, because my atoms in the lab are spinning in this perfect knotted rhythm, the black hole is forced to start emitting its radiation to that exact same rhythm?
Yes. The entropy per emitted quantum drops drastically. The static clears. Instead of random thermal noise, the black hole is now forced to emit highly coherent, readable data that matches the state of your quantum RAM. You have successfully tuned the accuracy from zero to a readable signal.
We are essentially using entanglement as a remote control dial, tuning the black hole's frequency until the data stream comes in clear. That is brilliant. But I want to talk about the physical hardware, because chapter 12 of the text gets into the practical setup. What does this read-write head actually look like?
The text calls it an atomic antenna. It requires a macroscopic spin ensemble. We're talking about trapping roughly 10 to the power of 20 laser-cooled atoms in a highly controlled vacuum environment.
10 to the 20. 100 quintillion atoms, frozen in place by lasers, acting as our physical interface with the black hole.
Correct. You use photons to entangle these trapped atoms with the black hole, building up this massive ensemble.
Okay, but time out. I have to call out a massive contradiction here. You just told me the beauty of this system is that it works across vast distances using entanglement. I stay safe in my lab. But the text also talks about using resonant cavities and creating a Purcell effect to speed up the data transfer, basically turning the black hole into a laser. That implies building a physical megastructure entirely around the black hole. Which is it? Are we far away or are we right next to it?
It is a sharp catch, and the text is actually offering two distinct models based on the capabilities of the civilization attempting it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the first model is pure remote entanglement. You stay on Earth with your atomic antenna. But the trade-off there is speed. While the phase locking organizes the data, the natural evaporation rate of a stellar black hole is still incredibly slow.
Right, which goes back to my problem of waiting a billion years to download a file.
Exactly. So if you want high-speed data transfer, you move to the second model, which requires proximity. You exploit a phenomenon called spin-flip resonance. A spinning black hole literally drags the fabric of space-time around with it. This is called lens-Thirring precession. The unpaired spins on the horizon wobble in this field at a very specific frequency.
It's like a spinning top wobbling right before it falls over.
Yes. If an advanced civilization builds a resonant cavity, essentially a highly advanced mirror structure around the black hole, and tunes the frequency of their local atoms to perfectly match that precise wobble, they induce resonance. The Purcell effect takes over, dramatically amplifying the emission.
How much of an amplification are we talking about here?
For a stellar mass black hole, you could accelerate the read-write speed of the Hawking emission down to microseconds.
Microseconds. You take a process that naturally outlasts the current age of the universe, and by building a resonant mirror and vibrating atoms at the perfect pitch, you speed it up to a microsecond data transfer. You've literally built a black hole laser drive.
You have. You've mastered the ultimate data storage mechanism the universe has to offer.
Let's just pause and summarize the journey of this framework, because it is staggering. We started with the idea that black holes are absolute destroyers where information is deleted. But through the lens of atom pattern theory, they are highly reactive gravitational radicals, desperate to pair up and release their information. And by using entangled skirmions, these atomic knots, as an antenna, we can tune out the thermostatic and read the data perfectly. It means black holes aren't the end of information at all. They're just incredibly complex filing cabinets.
It completely reframes how we view the conservation of information. The universe isn't losing data. It is storing it in ways we simply haven't learned how to decrypt yet.
It makes you wonder what other extreme cosmic phenomena are actually just mechanics of a larger system we don't understand.
Well, if you want to pull that thread, the cosmology section of the source material proposes one final concept that is truly humbling. We've established that a black hole is a localized radical of unpaired spins that we can manipulate. But what if we apply that exact same chemical logic to the very origin of everything?
You mean the Big Bang?
Yes. The text suggests that the universe itself began as a radical pair. Two fundamental, perfectly entangled spins that were violently separated during the rapid expansion of cosmic inflation.
So you were saying the entire universe is currently existing as an unpaired radical.
It's a profound possibility. The text points to dark energy, you know, the mysterious force accelerating the expansion of our universe. What if dark energy is just residual unpairedness, the ambient tension of a universe that desperately wants to pair back up but is stretched too thin?
Wow. If that is true, if advanced civilizations can build atomic antennas to read the data of black holes by forcing them to finally pair up, what does that mean for the ultimate fate of the universe?
It makes you question the concept of the heat death of the universe. We view it as a tragic end, a final freezing out of all stars and energy. But if the universe is fundamentally a massive quantum memory system waiting to resolve its initial unpaired state, then maybe the end of all things isn't a death at all. It might just be the final spin flip of a cosmic quantum computer finally pairing up its data, an erased path finally reaching its recognizable result.
Wow, so the ultimate cosmic trash can wasn't a trash can at all. And maybe the universe itself is just one giant running calculation waiting for the final file to save. That is definitely something for you to mull over the next time you look up at the night sky. Until next time, keep digging deeper.